Looking to get your Cisco CCNA this year? Well, today on the IT Career Podcast, we have Jeff Kiss joining us, who is a CBT Nuggets trainer and is one of the trainers involved in the Ultimate CCNA course through CBT Nuggets. So without further ado, let's welcome Jeff to the show. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Dakota. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And thank you for taking the time to come on the channel and talk about all the great work you do.
Yeah, very happy to be here. Very excited for what you do on this channel and happy to be a part of it.
Awesome. Well, for those who don't know you, do you mind taking a few minutes and kind of introducing yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jeff Kish. I have been a CBT Nuggets trainer for about 5 years, and my cat just about knocked my webcam off. Sorry about that. So she's probably going to try to make a guest appearance here in a moment. But I have been in the networking industry for, golly, close to 20 years at this point. Been doing a lot of routing and switching, wireless, and data center. Those would be my specialties. So if I can ever get my hands on those technologies, then I'm a pretty happy guy. So there we go. Did not know she was in my office when I started this. So I got my career started not knowing who Cisco was. I was hired by a Cisco partner. They had me just screwing in screws, hanging access points, and I just leaned on the senior engineers to teach me why we were doing the things we were doing and what is this company Cisco all about. And I worked pretty hard. I saw the certifications as an opportunity to advance my career. I got my CCNA within a year. I got my CCNP within 3 and my CCIE within 5. So I went very fast, but very aggressively after those certifications. And I've been fortunate to be able to move into an industry that allows me to help other people get those certifications as well.
That's so crazy. Like, that's an extreme. It seems, at least to me, accelerating, going from CCNA all the way to CCIE, most of the people here watching, I'm sure, are understand what the CCIE is. But when you really start digging down into the training, I'm like, how much that takes to do, that is a crazy certification. But today we are talking about Cisco CCNA, and many people realize the CCNA is a really great certification to get into the networking world, but don't necessarily realize what it takes to successfully study for the CCNA and the different tools and stuff you need to really absorb the knowledge. Do you mind kind of talking about that for a little bit?
Sure. I think everybody's certification process looks different. I mean, any Cisco certification, you've got to find the right balance between being book smart and being street smart, if we want to call it that. But, you've got to have your hands on the equipment. And it also depends on where you're starting. Are you doing this every day? Are you, working a side job and you want to get into IT? Well, there's a difference between the amount of studying you have to do if you're not doing this all day and just trying to learn it at home versus, yeah, at least I'm doing networking or IT all day, and then I can go home and also study up. So as far as tools are concerned, I'm a pretty simple guy. If you give me some videos to watch, and especially like a Cisco Pressbook, I've long built all of my certification studies around those two tools. And then just give me some lab equipment. And then again, for everyone, you just got to find that balance as far as getting your hands on the equipment and memorizing the facts you have to memorize. You better know OSPF has an administrative distance of 110, for example, and finding which facts you really need to spend time memorizing versus just, hey, I've actually configured this. So when they ask me what's missing from a config, I can look at it and tell you.
No, absolutely. And, I studied for the CCNA a long time ago, back in high school, back in the Netacad days, where...
Oh, high school, nice.
Yeah, high school. Yeah, it was really cool. And back in high school, it was one of those things where you got your CCNA and it was really kind of guaranteed job placement. You would come out of high school with a CCNA and like the world was open to you. Like everyone wanted to talk to you. And, but it was a lot more difficult back then to study for the CCNA. We didn't have, we had packet tracer technically. Mm-hmm. But, access to real world equipment and stuff just wasn't as tangible as it is today. And there really wasn't many options when it came to like third-party certification trainers. You know, there was Cisco Netacat, and that was about it. You know, there's a couple books out there. But me, I'm never much of been a book reader. I've been a hands-on type of guy. And one of the things I tell everyone when they're studying for the Cisco CCNA is to like practice hands-on practical training, you know, get into a lab environment of some kind. And really would love to hear your input and take on that.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, I think everybody needs to find that balance for themselves. I've been on both sides of the equation as far as, oh, I spent too much time studying from a book and not enough time in the lab. That was my CCNP experience, especially was I went and I took the test and I realized I need to be more in the lab. But then ironically, when I was studying for the CCIE written, which is no longer a thing, but 10 years ago it was, when I was studying for that, I actually found that I spent too much time in the lab, which was funny. We'd say, well, CCIE, you're supposed to. Well, for the written exam, they really wanted you to memorize a lot of facts. And so I had spent so much time in the lab that I didn't have all of my facts down and I had to spend more time in the book. So for the CCNA, I really think it's, again, everybody's going to be a little bit different from where they're starting and where they are. And you've just got to find out, okay, well, do I need to spend more time, again, memorizing those tables and understanding like really how a technology is supposed to be working? Because depending on the technology, you can sometimes configure a, you can configure a technology sometimes in five commands, right? And so memorizing the configuration is really easy. But what are those five commands doing? Well, that's book time, right? Versus something that maybe is a little bit more difficult to configure, but overall it's pretty simple in its implementation.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I love the cat there in the background. Oh, yeah. She's a sweetheart. Yeah. But, you know, that's a very good point that I don't think, you know, a lot of people really think about, you know, when studying for the CCNA. You know, you really have to kind of balance it out. And, you know, that's why one reason, like I tell people, you know, take your, you know, everyone wants to rush through, get their CCNA so they can move on to the next certification. But I think it's really important to make sure you take the time and understand the actual certification. You know, you should be studying to learn the material, not to pass the exam necessarily as well, though.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good on paper. At some point, you do have to put the focus into pass. And so, yeah, I want to be, I mean, there's two types of approaches, right? It can just be, I just got to pass the certification and I want this on my resume so I can get a better job. And that's fantastic. And I think sometimes we try to put a negative spin on that that says, well, you don't want to be a paper tiger. Well, a paper tiger is just somebody who goes out and memorizes answers or whatever, and you really can't back it up. But there is a place for saying, okay, I can do this. And I, you know, I can do this for my job and yet I'm not passing the CCNA. Why is that? Well, because at some point you do have to sit down, say, this is not going to make me a better engineer, but I've got to study these facts. I've got to study these topics that maybe I'll never touch in my life. And that will help me pass the exam. So I always try to avoid a little bit of that sense of, well, I want to be a better engineer. So I need to understand this in depth. Yes, but at some point you also need to pass the certification because you might have a help desk job today and you go get your CCNA. Well, guess what? That's going to get you a CCNA level job with CCNA level experience, and that's going to make you a better engineer as well. So don't cheat the process. Don't just memorize things and try to pass an exam and get a job you're not qualified for, but don't hesitate to say, okay, I don't necessarily understand OSPF as deep as I want, but I can, you know, do I understand it well enough to pass and get a job where I'm managing OSPF? And that's the balance. There's no perfect balance, but it's at least something to consider in your journey.
No, absolutely. And, you know, one thing I did when I was studying for my CCNA is I created myself some flashcards because for some reason I had a real trouble. Like I knew in day-to-day life, you're not going to be expected to remember most port numbers. Okay, let's just be honest. Port numbers and protocols, exactly. You're never going to that's what Google is for. Mm-hmm. But for the exam, you're going to need to know some of that stuff as well. Yeah. So for some reason, it was just difficult for me. Like, you know, I always hear people say, oh, subnetting is the most scary thing. Subnetting for me was easy. It's just, I learned differently. But remembering what port numbers were, you know, just the simplest of things like FTP or, you know, SSH or whatever, it just wasn't clicking. So I did flashcards and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something interesting. You know, you're talking about people right now might have a help desk level job. And once you pass a CCNA, you're going to have a CCNA level, you know, experience to be able to get a CCNA level job. Do you think it's possible for someone with, you know, no prior work experience to be able to take the CCNA and be able to jump straight into like a networking level position without doing time on the help desk? What's your opinion on that?
I think it's a tricky question. I mean, I think when we frame some of those scenario types of questions, it's a little bit of a shallow, like we're trying to create a scenario where like it covers everybody. Like not everybody's going to be the same type of person, the same type of engineer. If you're not in an IT role and you want to get into IT, studying for and passing your CCNA is really about the only thing. Now you could go for like a lower level cert, like a Network Plus, for example. There was a time where I would have said, don't pass the CCNA, go get the CCENT, right? Because the CCENT was a step into that, and that would put you a little bit, maybe make you a little bit more of a hireable candidate. So I have been fortunate enough to also be in a position where I'm hiring people, I'm doing technical interviews. And there is something to be said about, you know, from my perspective, I'm looking at resumes and I see somebody has a CCNA with zero work experience. That might be a red flag. And, you know, maybe we say, well, okay, it would have been better just to have submitted without it. But at the same time, I might look at that and say, oh, you're driven. You know, I've got somebody who has been in the industry for 5 years and they have zero certs. You have not been in the industry at all and you have a CCNA. So from my perspective, I would say I'm going to give you a technical interview. And if you can prove that you have a CCNA level of knowledge, I'd rather hire you than the person who has been in the industry for 5 years and shown no growth. So long story short, that's a very long-winded way of saying we can't control every scenario. There will be hiring managers who say, oh, I would never hire somebody like that. And there are hiring managers like when I was in that role that I would have been very interested in having a conversation with you because it just depends on where you put the value.
That's a good way to look at it. And, you know, in my day job, I'm a director of network operation and I'm also a hiring person. I just hired someone Thursday for an IT support specialist position that also is going to be working within the network operation center. Mm. And, in all honesty, the person really didn't have much prior job experience. But one thing I did notice when I was interviewing the person, they really just had that drive to learn and, you know, that passion for technology. And I think that's something, you know, a lot of people get overlooked that, the importance of having that desire. You know, there is some people I think that get into the field that feel like, oh, I'm going to get into networking because I want to make a lot of money. You know, there's a tech job, you know, want to get into tech jobs. And that's really apparent, in an interview. You know, the hiring managers typically can see right through that. But I want to dive more into training for the CCNA. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the most important, like tips you have to like really try to start cementing that knowledge in further? You know, a lot of times people are working a day job, and they're just trying to study in their free time and don't have a lot of time to devote, you know, how can they really set themselves up for success?
Well, I'm a big believer in balance. I have a lot of certifications to my name and they have all come just over time, slow and steady. Again, the CCNA, it sounded like I was very aggressive with those certifications. And on some level, certainly I was. But I mean, my CCNA prep was about 5 months. And then when I passed, I took a bunch of time off. And I didn't really start prepping the CCNP. I took another couple of minor exams in the meantime, but I didn't start prepping my CCNP until I want to say it was about a year and a half later. So I took like about a year and a half off between my NA and my NP. And so over the course of time, if you're taking that amount of time off between certifications, then you still end up having a pretty good resume of certs. Now, within a cert, like if you're going to just say, okay, well, I'll worry about NP and beyond later, just help me get my CCNA. Again, it is about the balance. You need to find a realistic study schedule that you're going to be able to stick to. You know, we all want to believe that, oh, I can study for 2 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week. And it's just not necessarily the case. It depends on your life situation. I got married pretty much right after I got into the industry. I've always had my wife. I was studying for these certs with really young kids, and I, you know, my kids are a little bit older now, but I still have to go study for certifications. They need you, you know? I mean, I'm a big believer in family first, and your family has to be on board or at least understand what you're doing, but make the sacrifice yours. You know, I would come home and I would spend time with my wife and my kids. And so once my kids were in bed, that was my study time, because normally it'd be like, well, that would be my watch TV time, play video games time, my relaxation time. Well, I wanted the sacrifice to be mine. So if that means it's an hour a night, if it means it's a half hour a night, whatever fits into that window, that's what you do. And you set that goal. And the time it takes is the time it takes at that point. I mean, some people can knock the CCNA out in 3 months. Some people it takes 6 months. Some people it takes a year. But it depends a lot on your starting position. It depends on how much time you can, again, realistically put in over the course of time. And just make sure that you're putting plenty of break time in there as well. So your family shouldn't have to not see you on the weekends, right? You should be available. Right. You should Absolutely. Be around. And if that, you know, I think for CCNA, if you can commit to somewhere around 10 hours a week, so that would be maybe an hour a night during the week, and then maybe somehow get another 4 or 5 hours in on the weekend. I think that's a really solid schedule. And if you can't quite do that, that's perfectly fine. You just find what works for you.
No, and that is so true. You know, what I did is, you know, I'd pick like 2 or 3 days a week, and I would like, literally, I put it in my calendar, like, I'm going to schedule for 45 minutes right after I get home from work. Like, just the kids and the wife mm-hmm. knew, like, Mondays and Wednesdays, I came home from work and I'm going to go straight into the yeah. office and I'm going to study for 45 minutes, you know, just pretend I'm still at work. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And it's rough, and there's going to be days that you just want to come home and flip on Netflix and just sit back and relax. But you have to stay diligent, I think. Another thing I did is I went ahead and as soon as I decided I was going to study for my CCNA, I went out and scheduled my exam in advance. And that way I knew that, like, I already paid, you know, I bought my voucher. I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to go get my CCNA. Actually, I didn't do that with the CCNA because I was in high school for that one, but I've done that with mm-hmm. other certifications. But I think that's a really good tip. Now, I actually want to take a few minutes and talk about the new CCNA course that CBT Nuggets just created, because, you know, I've been hearing all this hype around this ultimate CCNA course. And can you give us a sneak peek of what makes it so ultimate?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we have tried really hard with CBT is to give you a little bit more of a one-stop shop for studying. Because I think that video courses can be, let's say, 30 or 40 hours. And that sounds great, other than I just said that you should be studying for about maybe 10 hours a week. And so 30 or 40 hours is going to give you, you know, maybe a month or a month and a half. And it takes, you know, maybe longer to study because and what that does when the video course is lighter is it puts more on you to figure it out, right? Like, you might watch a video of somebody explaining OSPF, and the OSPF overview is done in an hour and a half or 2 hours. And 2 hours of OSPF is not enough, right? We need more time. And yes, there's time in the lab, but the reality is that that's the point where you crack out the Cisco press book and you really read the details, because in a video series, the tendency is that trainers will not necessarily go into all the details. And of course, you don't have the ability to just directly ask them questions and figure things out that way. And so what we've tried to do with this ultimate CCNA course is give a much more in-depth approach. So yes, there's more time involved, but it's supposed to give a learner the ability to sit down and review the CCNA through CBT Nuggets and have pretty much all of your questions answered. And so it will take you a little bit longer to go through OSPF, but in a very good way, because we're not glossing over the details. We're trying to give every detail that is required. I make sure that anytime I'm going to teach a course, I go take that course. I'm sitting here with two CCIEs, and I went and I took the CCNA because I wanted to see, hey, what does Cisco expect? You know, what are we learning here? And I'm not going to turn around and say what I saw on the CCNA because of NDA, but I want to make sure that our content is matching the depth of knowledge that's on there. And so that's exactly the goal, is to say, hey, you've got to know OSPF to this level. So I'm not going to teach it halfway and let you figure out the rest. I'm going to give you as much of that as I can. And no course is ever going to be perfect. There will be a detail here or there that you might say, oh, okay, well, I need to memorize this or whatever. But at the same time, we're hoping that it's a little bit more of that, you know, completeness feeling. When you get done with a subject that you feel like, okay, I know this subject because Keith or Jeff or John, you know, these are the three instructors at CBT who put this together, that because they covered it at enough depth that it, I know it. And what you're going to find is that the CBT course is longer than both our previous course, as well as some of the other courses that are out there. But if you can commit to it, you're going to know this material really, really well by the end of it. So that is why we're calling it the ultimate CCNA course, is because we want it to be the last CCNA stop for you, to say this is where you come to study. And by the time you're done, you should know this pretty well.
That's really cool, because, you know, I used to tell people that you don't just rely on one study resource for studying for the CCNA, mm-hmm. because many other online training platforms would just give you what the exact bit of information you need to know to be able to pass the exam, but right. really want to go into depth on topics. And there are certain topics that I found really interesting when studying for certifications that I want to learn more, but mm-hmm. a lot of different platforms will just teach for the exam, not necessarily for the skills right. and stuff. So that's one thing I think is really interesting. Now, to get a little bit off topic, there was actually a question asked, what about the CCST? I don't think CBT Nuggets really covers the CCST.
But we do.
Do you have a person? You do? Oh, yep. Awesome. Yep, even better. But what is your take on the Cisco Certified Support Technician Certificate?
Yeah, I think the CCST is a great way to, okay, so go back to that scenario where you said that, you know, you're not in IT and you need to study for a certification. The CCNA is a big, big step. And that's something I probably should have brought up, because the CCENT, I liked the CCENT model. I really did. I'm disappointed they got rid of the CCENT from the perspective that the CCNA is, I mean, like you're going up the stairs and like they took out the first two stairs, right? So can you step from the bottom of the stairs up to this level? You're going to have to really stretch your leg, versus that CCENT gave you the half step, right? And so they got rid of that. And so Cisco is saying basically you're expected to get here on your own and then you go for the CCNA. So that's where, to me, the CCST plays. Being honest, I like when I was hiring, and Dakota, you're in this role more recently than I am. I didn't ever ask about the CCSTs. At the time, they were called the CCTs. But right. It's one of these things where we might, I guess I don't know what the value is to hiring managers. It might be one of those things that at least says, hey, you're working towards certifications. And it also doesn't block me as a hiring manager from saying, okay, I want to pay, I want to hire you as a CCNA, but I don't trust that you have the experience. So it might be a nice middle ground. Ultimately, if you feel like the CCNA is a big step, that's where I think the CCSTs that they play really well in.
You know, I really feel that it's, you know, everyone's experience is different, you know, mm-hmm. and some people, like you said, the CCNA is a big step for people that don't maybe have that fundamental knowledge in the technology field.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to toss out there too, if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to go off the beaten path here, wherever we want to go with it.
Absolutely.
One reason we're doing it live, right? So yeah,
please. Absolutely. Please ask. Yeah. And then, you know, as the job aspect, you know, the hiring aspect of the CCST, you know, working in a network operations center for an ISP, the CCST to me doesn't feel like you quite have enough knowledge for maybe a networking engineering position. You know, right, maybe that's a gateway to get you into like the help desk or a very entry level, junior level position. But I think if you really want to, you know, stretch into a higher, you know, level role, the CCNA is like kind of the bare minimum. Yeah. Now, along that lines, what about the CCNP? You know, I've heard it more commonly because you used to not be able to do this. You used to have to get prerequisites. You know, there's prerequisites for these exams. Now, if tomorrow I want to go take the CCIE exam, Cisco's like, I'll take your money. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But what do you think about, you know, just jumping straight into that higher level certification if you have some previous experience? You know, I definitely don't recommend like, you know, someone that's completely green in the field to go for that, but maybe you are doing a networking engineering position already. Do you think it's too much of a stretch to jump straight into CCNP?
No, not at all. And fun fact, actually, Cisco has never had any prerequisites on the CCIE other than passing the written. So I actually had a coworker who his first Cisco certification, I think maybe in 10 years at least, maybe ever, was the CCIE. But he had 15 years of experience doing voice deployments, and he went out and he passed the CCIE lab, and that was his only certification. So CCIE is a little different because Cisco's opinion was at the time like, well, if you can pass the lab exam, then that's good enough, right? But the CCNP, like you said, they still required the NA, and now they've gotten rid of that. I will say, generally speaking, I don't advise going down that path and skipping certifications. Even for me, when I got my data center IE, I went and as a route switch CCIE and doing massive data center deployments, I still went out and passed the NA data, CCNA data center when it was a thing. Then I went and passed the CCNP data center. Then I got the CCIE written and the lab exam after that. And the primary reason I did that was just to make sure that I had a good foundation, because I don't want to go all the way out to I don't want to go try to take a CCNP course and there's just something there that I just don't have based on my real world experience. So I eased myself up to the CCIE, if you want to call it that, by making sure I passed all of those. So the one place where I would say absolutely go for it is if you have at least 3 to 5 years of experience, because like you said, I promise you as a hiring manager, I would never hire a CCNP who has zero experience. Like that's just not a thing, right? Yeah. Even if you have 1 year of experience in the CCNP, I'm going to really drill you on the technical interview to make sure that like, okay, do you really know this? Because it's going to be a little bit suspicious. But if you've got that 3 to 5 years of experience and you just say, hey, I don't want to, my question is always why? Right? Why wouldn't you just go past the CCNA? If the CCNA is like below you or beneath you, then it should be really easy for you to pass. And right, you need that knowledge to pass the CCNP anyways. If it's Jeff, the NA is expensive, then, and I don't want to spend the money, I think that's perfectly valid because unfortunately Cisco certifications are expensive. If your employer is willing to pay for it, then by all means, just go take the CCNA because it will help you step into the CCNP study methodology. And so again, it's for me, it's that why question. If it's, well, my employer pays for the certs, then just go get the CCNA because you don't know what you don't know until you find out. And there might be an area of weakness that the CCNA process will help you identify and will help give you a greater chance of success on the more expensive, more difficult CCNP exams.
Yeah, because I can tell you there's nothing worse than going to, like, if you went to skip the CCNA and went straight for the CCNP and then failed that more expensive exam. You know, I mean, it to me, it just would be like the logical progression. But, yeah, you know, everyone's situation is different.
100%.
Yeah. So is there any other tips you have for people that are like today looking to get started with the CCNA? You know, where should they start studying? You know, is CBT Nuggets enough? I mean, I'm sure that's a loaded question for you, but, you know, is there other things they can be doing in addition?
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough question to answer because again, if you come and take a course at CBT Nuggets for whatever, anything I teach, which is CCNA or CCNP route switch, wireless, all of these things. My goal is always, I want to go as deep as possible, as deep, I shouldn't say as possible. I want to go as deep as needed to pass the exam. I want you to know the material because you're paying CBT money to help you pass the CCNA. And if we can't do that, then in some way we're falling short of our obligation to you when you subscribed. But there's also the other side of the coin, which is perfectly valid. You can never get away from it. Just that conventional wisdom of multiple study sources will help. Here's where I draw the line on that. I don't like, if you want to complement the CBT Nuggets course with the CCNA Cisco Pressbook, I think you should always do that. Because in video format, I can list out the administrative distances of all the routing protocols, but seeing it in tabular format, being able to jot in the notes, being able to dog ear the page, like that's invaluable for some learners. Now, if you're not the type that needs the physical tangible, like I always need a physical tangible book. I can't stand studying off of PDFs, which is why I have Cisco Pressbooks here, right? Like, because yes, these are exams that I've studied for and taken and all of these things. And so I think that there's tremendous value in that. But if it's a, you know, if you say, well, I watched CBT's CCNA course and I still had to go get somebody else's video course to pass, then I would feel like I'm not doing my job. And so that's what my goal at least is. Again, I fully recognize there's going to be something where you watch where I teach multicast and it takes me 2 hours to teach multicast and you get to the end and say, but Jeff, you never mentioned this one fact about multicast. Because that's just the reality. There's so much out there that there isn't a single, in my opinion, a single trainer that's going to be able to give you 2 hours worth of material or whatever and hit every single thing that you need. And so that's why you complement it with ideally something written. That might be white papers. It might be a Cisco Press book, but something that you can then go back and read and say, okay, I get it. Jeff laid the foundation. He covered 95% of the material, and I'm just going to glean a couple of these other details out of the written material and add that to my knowledge. But I want you to be able to watch a course and say, you know, I understand it enough that now when I read it in Cisco Press, it makes sense to me because Jeff explained it or Keith explained it well enough that now I understand it and I just need to memorize a few facts or what have you. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but like I can at least say that's my goal when I create a course. There's always going to be room for improvement, and I'm always open to feedback. It's the UDT. I you know, believe it or not, I do keep an eye on public feedback to know, okay, what courses need to be a little bit deeper, what subjects do we need to go a little deeper, and if nothing else, as I make new content, where can I do this better? I'm always looking to improve, as you know, I'm pretty much, hopefully everybody is who's in this industry.
Absolutely. Now, I kind of want to actually get to some of the audience's questions. And we have one here that I think gets asked a lot. Do I need to know how to code to be good in a networking role?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. I'm just going to say straight up, the answer is no. You don't need to know how to code. Now, if you're new to the industry and you're saying, how do I get involved with Cisco networking? And then you pull up the command line interface and you're like, this feels like code to me. Well, yeah, it kind of feels a little bit like code. The configuration of devices can look and feel that way. But it's like, so do you have to learn that? Absolutely, you do. Do I have to learn Python and scripting languages to be a network engineer? No, you do not. Now, if you have coding knowledge, again, this is where it becomes a very branched off conversation. There will be more opportunities available in the industry if you can do a little bit of coding. How much coding do you have to do? You have to be able to program your own applications. I would say no, you know, but having some basic Python and things like that would definitely open up a lot of experience. I've said this before, and I'll say it again here, that I think that it's very easy to get caught up in a little bit of that FOMO or fear of missing out mentality, which is that everybody in the industry is saying, you know, automation and programmability, and Cisco has their DevNet and their certifications, and I'm going to get left behind. I mean, in my experience, only like the top 10% of networks size-wise are really able to leverage automation in a way that makes sense. If you're managing a network of 15 devices, there's not a lot of automation that is going to really pay off there. I mean, when you're talking about programmability and coding and scripting, you need like hundreds of devices to be able to make that worthwhile. And even then, it still requires a specific type of network. And so do you want to work in that type of environment? If so, get your CCNA. Don't skip to coding, but get your CCNA. We can only study one thing at a time. Get that networking knowledge. Then just work on that thing. You know, maybe rather than go straight for the CCNP, you spend some time learning some Python scripting and you understand, you play it, deploy it into a lab and you learn, okay, I can actually configure the switch via Python now. And then from there, I can put that on my resume, survive a technical interview about it, and maybe get a role where I'm actually using network automation.
Oh, that is spot on, I feel. Another question is, what resources do you recommend for the CCNP Encore? What do you think about the balance between lab and theory of this exam?
Well, I recommend a great company called CBT Nuggets for the Encore. I'm always going to be a little bit biased as far as that's concerned. My YouTube channel does actually still have some, at least I would call it like a starter pack of CCNP content. So if you want some free CCNP training, you can just search YouTube for Kish Squared. That's my tag. It's been my tag for 25 years at this point. It came, so it seems a little weird, but there's a story behind it. But ultimately, YouTube, Kish Squared, and you'll find a bunch of NP content. I think anytime you're starting for a certification, spend some time on YouTube. Poke around, see what's out there. Ultimately, what you'll find with YouTube is it's a great way to get started because there's a lot of free resources to get started, but you're usually going to need to buy a course or pay for a subscription if you really want to use it to pass the exam. So get started on YouTube, pull up CBT. I always tell everybody, look, no trainer, no learning style is going to work for everybody. You've got to find out if CBT works for you. So if you want to try CBT Nuggets, I love that. But pull up a free trial. We've got a 7-day free trial. Try it. Make sure the style works for you. And if it doesn't, then cancel and look for somebody who does work for you. If it does work for you, then fantastic. And we're here for you for that. As far as the CCNP Enterprise Network, I know Cisco's announced actually a couple new exams with that. But up until then, we've pretty much got every exam. So you can take the ENSLD, which is the design specialization. You can take the ENWLSD, which is the wireless design. You can take the ENAuto, which is the automation for enterprise networking. And so no matter what path you want to go down, really, CBT at least has the portfolio for it. So if our learning style or if our teaching style matches your learning style, then you can come to CBT, pass the Encore with us, pass the specialization, regardless of which specialization you want for the most part, and then you'll have your CCNP enterprise networking.
No, and you know, I came to CBT Nuggets very early in my career when I was just transitioning into IT, and I really love the amount of, you know, I don't know, it's just the way CBT Nuggets trainers approach training. This made it fun and enjoyable. Like I said earlier, I'm not a book reader. I can't just sit down with the certification guide and that will just put me to sleep. But you know, I would sit down, like I said, for those 30, 45 minutes to do, you know, just a couple training sessions. And then I find myself like 2 hours later, cause I just get sucked into the knowledge. So that was really fun.
That means a lot to hear.
Absolutely. Now, another question. How much networking knowledge would you need before taking the course? Some courses require some knowledge. Others require basic networking knowledge as part of the course.
Yeah. So I will say, given that it's the ultimate course, we actually should try to make this hit a lot of different levels. So I would actually say that if you have zero experience, then go ahead and try firing it up, because the first set of, you know, the first thing that the way the course begins is Keith Barker saying, what the heck is networking, right? And talking about what is a router, what is a switch. And so there will be some students who will fire this up and say, I've been in the industry for 2 years. I know what a switch does. I know what a router does. And so you can just skip past some of that intro stuff. But I do think that the course is actually, you know, as long as it doesn't ramp up too fast for you, it starts in a really good place. And so I would at least advise, again, that 7-day free trial of firing it up and giving it a shot. And generally speaking, independent of the CBT course, I would say that if you are looking to maybe get into networking or ramp up a networking quickly, you know, CCNA is a big step. I wish Cisco still had CCENT. If you find that CCNA materials, CBT or otherwise, are just like too in depth, because the CCNA is too in-depth ultimately, then you might consider an A plus or a network plus to kind of get you your feet wet as far as networking is concerned. If you can get the CCNA, it is worlds more valuable than the network plus. I just say that as a, you've got to be realistic. If the CCNA, as soon as we're talking about link state routing protocols and OSPF and all of these things, and you're just like, I have no idea what that even means, you know, and I'm not able to follow, then it might be worth stepping back and doing something a little more realistic as far as stepping into it. Because the last thing you want to do is shoot for the CCNA when you're not ready for it, never be able to get it, and never get any certification, right? Like, slow and steady wins the race. That should be true with your prep as well. Oh, and 100%. By the way, Dakota, can I show off a little bit of what our CCNA looks like now?
Absolutely.
All right. Is now a good time?
Now would be a great time.
All right, great.
Yeah.
So I've got, okay. Well, let me explain this for anybody who doesn't know. So CBT Nuggets has been around for a long, long time. I've lost track. I think 25 years. long before I was even in the industry. And I love the story of CBT Nuggets because our owner, he started out by basically saying, okay, I want to teach this like course on Microsoft, you know, probably like Windows 98 back then, right? Whatever it was he was teaching on. And he would actually burn CD, he would record training and he would actually burn it on CDs and sell them online. And he'd ship CDs out, right? And so that's actually how long CBT has been around, is video training has been what CBT does from the very start, even before there was internet streaming. Now, it didn't take long for them to switch over to internet streaming, even in the early 2000s, but ultimately it was, you know, CBT has always been video training, which is wonderful and has worked great for many years. But I do think that there has been a limitation with our learning platform, which is that, okay, it's great that I can watch a video of Jeff explaining all of this, but again, like, where's that tabular information? Like, where's just the spelled out administrative distances? And you're not going to find that in the CBT app, because all we do is videos. You click from one video to the next to the next. We can occasionally get like, hey, if you want to download some files, a lot of trainers will just link to a GitHub repository or something like that. And it wasn't native to our platform. So the, you know, CBT Nuggets, I've been on with CBT, I'm coming up on 5 years. I absolutely love this company. They have a great mentality of always trying to improve their product as well as do what's right for the learner. And I don't always see that in the industry. So I've loved my time with them, and I have loved the fact that they recognize that this video platform is maybe a little limiting. And so we need to modernize our platform. So anybody who's been a longtime CBT Nuggets learner knows what our platform looks like. If you don't, that's, you know, it's basically just YouTube, but even YouTube without really the comments and the written descriptions and all of those things. So it's basically just video to video to video. Well, now we have a new learning platform, and we have just kicked it off. Let me make sure this worked. Okay, good. So we have just kicked this off with the Ultimate CCNA course. And so what you're going to find is that we have this platform, which is called Adept. So adept.at, actually, and you can go out there right now to Adept. And there's, unfortunately, there's no access yet if you're not a CBT Nuggets learner. But if you are a CBT Nuggets learner, then you'll be, you know, you go to watch this course. The only way to consume this course is on this new platform. And so what this turns it into is a lot more than just videos. Yes, there's still videos. You're going to click on videos. You're going to watch as I explain things, right? Here's some whiteboarding. Here's some quiz questions, though. Here's an explanation of what the distribution block is and networking, the core block. And you're going to learn in this format, getting all the way down to where we review it and you answer more questions. And so this new Adept platform, I think, is going to completely, I mean, I will say from a training perspective, it has already revolutionized the way that I am teaching. It's, I think, going to revolutionize the way that CBT Nuggets learners are able to consume the content and really absorb it.
That you, actually, that was the first time I've seen the new platform. I've been hearing so much about it, and I really love the look of it. I'm actually really intrigued. It's got a very, I don't know, friendly interface to it to me, like a very inviting. It doesn't feel like a big structured, like scary platform. It feels like just you're reading along with the trainer. Like you feel more connected, I think. So I'm definitely interested to look into that some more. Now we have a couple more questions I want to get to.
Yeah.
And this one always gets me, and I'd love to hear just your take on it. CCNA versus the Network Plus. I mean, I'm sure almost every time someone talks about networking certifications, this question almost always comes up. What's your take on it?
If it doesn't have Cisco in it, don't do it. It's not worth it. No. Maybe not so much. So the real, and I already addressed a little bit of this, I'm sure, before the question came in, but ultimately the, you know, if you want to talk about levels, if you're starting out here, the, you know, Network Plus is here. I'm trying to orient my, okay, whatever. So we'll just, I'll just do it natural, more natural. So you're starting here. Network Plus is here. CCNA is up here. Okay. So if you are just getting started, I usually do recommend people start with Network Plus. If you never quite get to a point where you take the exam and pass it, that's probably perfectly fine. But just especially when you're looking at, if you're looking at CBT, great. If you're looking at other vendors, also great, right? Like when you look at training content, if you're getting a Network Plus course, it's going to be a lot more beginner friendly. And so if you need to start early or start, like you're like from ground zero, you're like, I just need to learn networking. Network Plus is a pretty good place to start. And I will say that I don't think that there's like, there's a big difference between a CCNA job and a Network Plus job. Dakota, I think you said it already that a Network Plus, maybe you said it about the CCST, but I would say it about the Network Plus as well. A little bit more of a help desk job, a little bit more of a technician job. You're going to be screwing in screws and working with a network engineer. If you want to be configuring network equipment, if you want to be have a little bit higher level of responsibility and of course a little bit higher level of pay, you're going to want to get the CCNA eventually. But the Network Plus, potentially, depending on your starting point, is a great stair step to getting into it.
No, absolutely. You know, it's, again, I think it's for someone that's maybe just starting out in the field that doesn't feel super confident about their background knowledge in networking. I think it'd be a great certification. Now, this is something that I think not enough people do. Like when they're going for that, like first, like network engineer, network technician interview, what CCNA topics should you be reviewing right before an interview to make sure you're just kind of fresh in the front of your mind?
Yeah. My favorite question to ask any candidate of any level is explain ARP. Because if you, and it's so funny because the response is, the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, oh, address resolution protocol. And then you hear a silence. The next thing out of that person's mouth tells me so much about what they understand about networking. Because ARP glues layer 2 and layer 3 together. If you can't explain ARP, then that tells me that you might be a really hard worker. And there might be, I mean, I'm not going to say you fail the interview, right? But what I'm listening for is as you think through, like, okay, can you really understand layer 2 address swapping? Can you understand that layer 3 is end-to-end? Because it tells me so much about what you understand about networking. So I'm giving you a little bit of cheating advice here, because I'm not saying that everybody asks for ARP, but first of all, if they do ask for ARP, you better have a good answer for it. Second of all, it will really take you down the path of making sure you're prepared for it. I think making sure you understand how routes get installed into the routing table is big. I used to ask about that as well. Make sure you understand that once routes get installed into the routing table, administrative distance is no longer a thing. You know, if you've got an OSPF route and an EIGRP route, the OSPF route may win because it's most specific route. So make sure you understand routing choices, routing progressions, administrative distance only determines what gets installed into the routing table, not what's actually used, of course. I say, of course, but you know, maybe that's news to you and that's great. And you know, subnetting is always going to be potentially a thing if you're, I don't like it as a technical question because it doesn't really tell me anything about your capabilities. It just tells me whether you can do subnetting on paper. And most people will just, like you said earlier, use Google or use a calculator or something like that.
Right.
But just in case it gets asked, I would also always make sure that you're up on subnetting. So, you know, I think those are the main things. I think understanding, being able to express the difference between layer two and layer three. Again, ARP is a good glue for that, but you know, maybe some spanning tree questions. But if the technical interviewer is doing their job, they are not going to try to ding you for, you know, do you have every answer? What I was always interested in as a technical interviewer was the conversation. If you get something wrong, but you're like, okay, well, I understand it's like this and it's probably like this, I might say, well, that's not actually correct, but I love the way that you thought through that, right? If they're doing their job. Now, I've also had technical interviews that the engineer on the other end is like a triple CCIE, and they're like looking to say like, oh, well, when you have a virtual port channel and you're getting this kind of error and all these things, it's like, why are you asking me this? Like, this doesn't tell you anything about my capabilities or my experience. It just is going to tell you whether I've ever troubleshot that exact issue, right?
Right.
So you can only control the things you can control. I say that a lot to my kids. I say that a lot to people in this industry. You can't stress about that. You can't control what the technical interviewer is going to do. You can't like cheat and prepare and say, okay, well, they're going to ask me about these five things, so I better memorize these five things. But be prepared to have a conversation. And if you don't know an answer, I will say this, be honest. One of the biggest pet peeves that I think a lot of technical interviewers have is you kind of try to weasel your way to an answer or a non-answer. And yeah, it was really refreshing when somebody would just say, you know, I've never actually worked on that technology before, but I'm willing to learn it. I'm open to that. Like, that's actually pretty refreshing.
It is. And, you know, a lot of times, especially when you're going for these entry level positions, they don't expect you to know it all. It kind of goes back to, you know, we can train you those skills, but, you know, being honest and being a good employee, you know, that's something you got to show. And I think the best answer I've ever heard is when I ask, you know, someone I was interviewing, like, hey, explain how this works. And they're like, well, I actually don't know, but let me tell you how I would find that information out and how I would troubleshoot that problem.
Awesome.
Boom. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's the most amazing thing, because they are not only like telling you that, okay, they're being honest and candid with you, but they're working you through their troubleshooting methodology. So you can see how they're going to actually be troubleshooting these problems, because let's be honest, there is no experts in this field, you know, or very, very few experts in this field, you know, the people that are doing this job on a day-to-day basis, we're using Google on a daily or on a weekly basis, to be honest with you. But yeah, you know, being honest and knowing where to find these answers and how to troubleshoot these things is, I think, really key to having a successful career.
Yeah. And I will also chime in one other thought on the interview process, which is that, again, having been there and interviewed people, I've never interviewed a candidate that just is exactly what I'm looking for. I mean, I would, you know, I'm looking for a CCNP level candidate for this role, and I just can't find somebody who, like, you know, I think every job role on some level, you're looking for the best you can get. And so where I'm going with this is to say, if you, let's say you either have your CCNP, or maybe you don't have your CCNP. Well, let me stick with the CCNA. Let's say you don't quite have your CCNA. Maybe you're studying for it and you see a job opportunity posted at a company you want to work for, or maybe, you know, through networking or LinkedIn or something, you see an opportunity that says it, but it requires a CCNA. Don't hesitate to apply. And your cover letter, or if you have a contact there, say, I'm working on my CCNA, I'd love to interview for this job. Because they might, I mean, in an ideal, perfect world, that company will hire somebody who already has a CCNA. But number one, you might actually be the best candidate because they might interview a bunch of CCNAs who don't do well with the interview. And the other possibility is you don't know if they're getting any interest in this job. And so you might show up and you might be the best candidate. And again, I can't express enough how much it matters for a hiring manager to look and say, oh, well, you don't have a CCNA, but you're really close and you're motivated and you want to go beyond a CCNA. And I'd rather roll the dice, so to speak. I mean, you're always risking something when you hire somebody, right? I'd rather risk it on you because you're showing me that you're going to grow versus risking it on somebody who maybe isn't showing growth potential. So don't hesitate to interview for, if nothing else, it's interview practice. But you're never going to be in a place where you're like, okay, I've got it all figured out, right? I've got all the certs I need. I've got all this. You're never going to be there. It's always, This is an opportunity. I'm going to go for it. If I don't get it, then it's disappointing and it can hurt. But look for the positives and maybe you'll just land a job that you didn't think you were qualified for.
That is that's such great advice. These job applications you see, sometimes they're just purely a wish list, or sometimes they're put together by an HR person that has no clue what the job does.
Yes.
Apply anything anyways, because the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to tell you no. And you never know when you might be the most qualified candidate to apply. Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. The job I have today as a director of network operation, it came down to a final pool of three of us. There's three of us, that were in the final round of interviews, and I was the least qualified candidate. The two other peoples had like master's degrees. They had like tons of previous networking experience. And I was maybe 2-3 years into the job field. I just got a job as a network engineer not too long ago, actually. And I applied and I'm like, this is my dream job. And, just through the interview process, I ended up getting the position because he liked my personality the most. Mm-hmm. I was the best fit with the team. It was a very small team. And then 90 days into that job, because I originally applied as a network technician, I got promoted into the director level role. Wow. Just because I came in with just that, going back to that drive, that thirst for knowledge, like having to know how everything worked and taking ownership of every little thing when stuff didn't go right. That really went a long way. And it was a blast. it's my dream job. So, never hurts to try to apply.
Yeah.
As we start wrapping things up, any parting words of advice for us, you wanted to bestow upon us, us peasants, you and your great knowledge. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh man, we are all in this together. We are all trying to figure it out. I've got we mentioned programmability earlier. I've got that same fear of missing out. I feel like, boy, the more I teach PIM multicast, right? Like if I'm just teaching some of these things, am I learning the newest, latest, and greatest? And so, yeah, we're all in this together. You never stop learning. And I think that some of that can be platitudes, but the reality is that if I look back on my career, and I've had what I would consider to be a successful career, I've advanced, I've gotten promotions, I've gotten salary increases and taking new jobs, and I'm doing exactly what I've always wanted to do, right? All of that was just back to me as I know nothing. I didn't even know who Cisco was. What was I doing? I was just taking one step forward at a time. And it's hard to look out 20 years and say like, okay, well, where do I want to be in 20 years? It's hard enough to do that at 5 years out. But it's incredible to me how quickly you can grow. And yeah, that's IT. That can be not IT things too, but sticking with the context of IT, you want to step into networking. I can't tell you how much progress you will make if you can just dedicate that 5 to 10 hours a week for the next year, 6 months, whatever it is. You'll know more than you might expect. And we all are going to always have that. Okay, the more I know, the more I know that I don't know, right? Like that's always going to be a thing. There are things that I know I don't know well enough. I have never sat down to teach a course and thought, oh, good, I know everything about this. There's always, I'm looking at some blueprint item on even a CCNA or a CCST, and I'm like, I haven't looked at that in a long time. I'm going to have to research that, or this is new. I've never seen it before. Like we're all trying to kind of get this together, and you can't, you're never going to know it all, I guess is what I'm saying. And just because, and you're going to find that you've got these insecurities. We all have them. You're going to feel like, okay, but again, like we just said, I would interview for this job, but I don't know this. I don't have this certification. I don't have this experience. Neither does anybody else who's applying for that job. Everybody's going to have holes in their knowledge. Everybody's going to have holes in their experience. There are experiences I wish I had that I don't have. And sometimes it's, you know, people will tell me like, boy, Jeff, I wish I had your level of knowledge, or I wish I had your experience. And I'm sitting here thinking, I wish I had yours, because you've managed this in the past and I've never done that in my life. And so always come back to process oriented thinking, right? I might not get the CCNA for a while, but if I'm studying a little bit every day, if I'm prioritizing it during, if you are in IT and you want to grow, again, what I was just hanging access points. And if I had just been like, you know, I'll just hang access points all day and go home and I'll be happy to do that, then maybe I would never have advanced. But when I would have to paste a configuration into an access point or a switch, I would go to the engineer and say, hey, you know, like, what is this line of code or configuration doing or whatever, right? Like, look for those opportunities. And if you just have that growth mindset, again, process-oriented thinking, it's, I'm just going to grow a little bit every day. I'm going to grow a little bit more this month. If I can be 1% better by the end of the month, 2% better by the end of the month at a technology, it adds up over time, and it adds up a lot faster than you might expect.
That is just rock solid advice. You know, it truly does just add up, and just continue to be curious. You know what I mean? I try to learn something new every day, like not necessarily every day, because there's those days at my job that just are crazy, but at least like one or two things a week. Yeah. You know, I have to know how it works. You know, I'll go down the rabbit hole on setting up. Like right now I've been elbows deep in the IPv6 project where we're deploying it out to the public, because I work at ISP. That's totally different than, you know, your standard deployments. So it's been a fun learning process for me just to bring those skills back up to snuff to be able to deploy that. So just staying curious. I really appreciate it. Yeah, you taking the time to come on the channel. I want to be respectful of your time. We're already at an hour here. People want to, you know, obviously they can go to CBT Nuggets to learn, watch your wonderful training. If people want to kind of learn more about you or connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm active on both Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it these days, as well as LinkedIn. So you can find me, Jeff Kish. I should pop up. I mean, there's probably 10 Jeff Kishes on LinkedIn, but you'll recognize the beard and the bald head probably. on Twitter and on YouTube, I am again Kish Squared, so that's my last name, KISH, and then spelled out SQUARED. It is a mathematical reference there, just a inside joke that, you know, my brothers and I started. But I think that's the best way. I mean, you can, if you have any questions about CBT or, you know, again, anything about any of these subjects, I do try to respond to LinkedIn and Twitter messages. So feel free to reach out, ask questions. I'll do my best to respond. And obviously, like you said, also, of course, CBT Nuggets, we've got that new CCNA course on Adept. It's a fantastic experience. Would love to have feedback on that, by the way, as well. I know our CBT team is looking for that level of feedback on Adept for those learners who are jumping in. I mean, it's a new product. It's going to probably have a few bugs or a few things that could be better. So you've got those thoughts, then let us know. But jump into CBT Nuggets. Again, try it. Do that 7-day free trial. If it matches your learning style, then dive in. And I hope that, you know, we're going to give you a good experience and help you get that CCNA and whatever your certification goals are.
Absolutely. And I've actually put links to those platforms already down in the description below the new CBT Nuggets. Absolutely. Well, I hope you guys really enjoyed this video. And until next time, keep learning. Awesome.
Take care.